You're listening to the Whole Hog Sports Podcast. And now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Today on the show, Brad Logan from Mississippi joins us to talk about Ole Miss. We'll also talk about the Razorbacks game with Christina Long, their game at Ole Miss this weekend. But first, a word from Kendall King.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
We start today's show with Brad Logan of the Logan Media Network. He covers Ole Miss athletics. Brad, what's the feeling like down in Oxford about this game this weekend?
Well, I think a lot of people, Matt, first of all, thanks for having me on. Yeah. A lot of people are kind of wondering if it will be kind of the same thing that happened last year, and I think most people believe it will not. I mean, you look at what Arkansas did last week against Arkansas State, and of course, their first game of the year. The way that Taylen Green has looked at quarterback under that Bobby Petrino offense. And honestly, Matt, one of the few quarterbacks coming back in the same system in the SEC. And not a lot of quarterbacks can say that are starters. So I think it'll be much different than we saw last year in Fayetteville. The good news for Ole Miss is the defense is looking much better than people thought. It's coming together under defense coordinator Pete Golding. And I think Xavier Harris is making a lot of money at defensive tackle. He looked really good, looks the part. And then Sunterian Perkins, the outside linebacker, along with T.J. Goddery, really, really good focal points. Wide receiver room looks good. Question marks on the offensive line. Running backs look good. We saw Kawan Lacy really put some things together the last couple of weeks since leading the conference in rushing. But the question, I think, honestly, is the question we didn't think we would have going into the season, and that's with quarterback Austin Simmons. He looked rough in the early going against Georgia State. And we all saw the first two drives led to 10 Kentucky points and kind of spotted the Wildcats a 10-0 lead by two interceptions. Didn't protect the football, kind of, you know, did not go through his progressions, kind of zeroed in on receivers. And we could talk about a bad snap here or there, but those throws were rushed. And I do think there's a cause of concern for Ole Miss fans. Although it looked better in the second half, I think leaning on Kawan Lacy probably is going to help him with that. But they're definitely causes of concern. And I don't know what the point spread is right now. I saw it somewhere around 8 or 9, but I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. I have no idea what to expect kind of going into the weekend because I think both these teams are much different than they were last year when they played.
Is Simmons hurt?
I don't think so. I think he had a little bit of a roll-up of an ankle, maybe a little bit of a knee, but was helped off the field, Matt, as you guys saw that watched the game. And we thought it would be pretty severe. The television guys, I would later learn after the text is that they were saying it was an ankle. It's what the sideline reporter was reporting. He would come back into the game. We asked Lane on Monday at the press conference, is Austin Simmons injured? And he said he's not. He could have come back into the game. Trinidad Chambliss, a transfer quarterback out of Ferris State, came into the game, won a national championship last year, and is going to be a part of the offense. And Lane mentioned that was the plan, to play him. But obviously, we would see Simmons come back into the game at the end of the game, but it was just to take a knee and to hand it off a couple of times. So, judging by Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin, there's no injury to Austin Simmons.
30-23, Ole Miss beat Kentucky last weekend. What'd you learn about the team?
I think more than anything is adversity. And Lane talked about he wanted this team to go through adversity, to try to learn from it, mainly from the quarterback position. I think, you know, not speaking for Lane at all, but I think the defense got to learn from adversity as well. Being thrown in the fire, down 7-0, down 10-0, just like that, and to be able to come off and to limit Kentucky, and then the offense kind of got things going behind Kawan Lacy, and then, wow, Trey Wallace, the wide receiver for Ole Miss, has been a very, very important part of this offense, whether it's running the speed sweep or catching the ball down the field. A lot of those passes, Matt, were underthrows. He had to go up and get the football. So I think adversity is key. You know, one stat I'll throw at you, Matt, is this team was 0-3 in one-score games last year. The year before, Ole Miss won 10 games and went to the Peach Bowl, Ole Miss was 4-0. They won all their close games. Their losses were blowouts. Last year, the losses were very, very tight. So they started the year off 1-0 in one-score games. They would eventually, you know, I think that's a little bit of a misnomer. It was stretched to 10 before Kentucky kicked the late field goal. But in any event, they're still 1-0 in one-score games. And I think adversity is key. Seeing early adversity, because last year, man, you saw the team. You saw they started with four cupcakes. Mm-hmm. And this year, they do not. I mean, you know, say what you want about Kentucky. I mean, I think there's an argument they're probably the poorest team in the SEC. But anytime you go on the road early in the year, the crowd was a factor early on, especially when they being Kentucky was up 10-0, played a factor in the game. So there was some adversity there. Ole Miss overcame it and then won the game.
You know, you mentioned that the schedule that Ole Miss played last year, and when they played Kentucky at home, they lost last year. The first real team they played. We're kind of in a similar situation here in Arkansas, where they haven't played anybody yet, and now they're going to play, you know, obviously a real legit team on Saturday down there. I wonder maybe if you think that works against Arkansas this week.
Well, it definitely worked against Ole Miss last year. You know, I'm not sure about Arkansas, but, you know, even the team mentioned, you know, when we met with some of them in the media day before the season started back in August and asked them, do you wish you had had a little more competition? Now, at the time the schedule was built, Wake Forest was pretty good. I mean, that was 10 years in advance. So you never know with a lot of these schedules, but, you know, they were really bad last year. And so not having a competent team that you faced prior to Kentucky, they kind of rolled the ball out there. You know, nobody really said anything about Kentucky. And by the time Ole Miss looked up, it was 20-17, and it was too late. And so they had an opportunity, you know, late in the game last year and couldn't get the job done. This year, I said going into the game that Ole Miss, a couple of keys to victory, not all of those things came true, but the main one came true for Ole Miss is don't roll the ball out there and expect to win. I didn't think Ole Miss went out there with any type of decision other than go out and win the game. They did not overlook Kentucky at all. And Lane Kiffin even admitted on Monday, whether he meant to or not, that they game planned all week, all summer for Kentucky because they didn't want that to happen, what happened last year. So, and it didn't. And you credit the coaching staff. But, boy, it quickly turned to Arkansas after seeing what Sam Pittman's crew and Bobby Petrino's crew and Taylor Green did to Arkansas State. Now, I don't know what type of team Butch Jones had. I watched the replay. It's obvious that Arkansas had a lot more athletes than Arkansas State. But you have to put it together, and you have to play on the field. And, you know, you hit against each other for a couple of weeks, and I know it's always exciting to go against someone else. So it's one thing to say that they haven't played anybody. But on the flip side, you know, I think Arkansas had much more of a pulse than some of the teams Ole Miss played last year. So I do think that probably helps Arkansas. But, yeah, having Ole Miss early in the season, normally we don't see this, whether it be Ole Miss and Arkansas play this early in the year. Most of it's in the middle of the season or at the back half. So something else new with this conference schedule.
You touched on Kewon Lacy a little bit earlier. You know, he leads the SEC in rushing yards, rushing touchdowns. And then another stat that I saw in the Ole Miss game notes this week was that he leads college football in the number of missed tackles that he has forced.
Yeah.
How much has he changed the Ole Miss running game this year?
It's turning on its head, Matt. I mean, it's not even remotely the same. If in butts for candy nuts, we'd all weigh 500 pounds. But, you know, you talk about if you had Kewon Lacy on this team last year, I think the sky was the limit. It was absolutely the deficit of the team. And so having him this year, and it's interesting you say that because in the postgame podcast/video, whatever that we do after the game, I made mention that it felt like even when Kewon Lacy was hit at the line of scrimmage, he fell forward. Even when he was hit, he kind of rolled off a Kentucky defender to get a yard or two. And in some instances, he would get 10, 12 extra yards just by, you know, running hard. And you know, it's almost like you would be describing someone that looks like, you know, a big bowling ball, someone like a Braylon Russell at Arkansas. But it's not. It's someone that is not very big. He doesn't have a lot of size. And he had 28 carries. You know, I expected that to kind of be split up with he and Logan Diggs and maybe Damian Thomas. But it wasn't. I mean, it was pretty much all it was all Kewon Lacy. And so, yeah, that's an interesting stat, and I believe it. Because as soon as he hits contact, it's not like he goes down. And that was one of the detriments. And one other issue is the underthrown ball that Trey Wallace went up and got that kind of ignited Ole Miss's offense. It led to a touchdown. Kewon Lacy picked up a linebacker or safety or one of the defenders for Kentucky and just pancaked him and then got on top of him. You know, we didn't see that last year from a running back to be able to block like that. Now, Henry Parrish was pretty good, but, of course, he was injured in that Arkansas game. That's kind of where Ole Miss kind of went down after that in the second half. Didn't hurt them against Arkansas because the score had already kind of been taken care of. But later on down the road, not having a serviceable running back was huge for Ole Miss down the stretch. Really hurt them against Florida.
I'm going to ask you a big picture question. You know, Lane Kiffin and Sam Pittman came into these jobs in the same year, and you look back pre-2020, they both had their years that they would love to forget, these two programs. They've had some years where they've spiked and then gone back down. But you look over the course of maybe 25 years, and Arkansas and Ole Miss, I think, were very similar football programs. Why do you think in the last 5-6 years, Ole Miss has gone so much more in one direction than Arkansas has?
It feels like it's been a buy-in from the fan base, a buy-in from this new NIL era. Of course, that doesn't explain all the success early, but I think a lot of it has come in the NIL era with Ole Miss being able to organize with the Grove Collective, working in concert with the university, with head coach Lane Kiffin. I think that's what's given Ole Miss a really nice little spark over the last, 2 or 3 years. But prior to that, I think it was pretty much, I think Lane Kiffin's a good football coach. I mean, he gets the rap and, you know, he gets on Twitter/X and he kind of goes crazy and he's been featured on TikTok and that sort of thing. But I think at the end of the day, he's a really good football coach. And I think being able to surround him with people like Pete Golding, who he was able to acquire from Alabama, has been a great defensive coordinator for Ole Miss. Charlie Weiss Jr., he and Charlie kind of work on calling the plays together from what we understand. And it's been a really nice marriage between Lane Kiffin and the Ole Miss fan base. You know, I don't know, you would know more than I, but it feels like there's an influx of enthusiasm with the Arkansas football program this year. Maybe it's because it's early. Maybe it's because we were watching things from afar all summer. But it feels like an additional year into Bobby Petrino's system is just going to just to inject more enthusiasm into this offense and to Taylen Green to see, you know, he ran the ball good last week in Arkansas State. I thought he threw it really well, having kind of a nice little influx of receivers to go to. The offensive line kind of took care of him. So I think just from the outside looking in, it feels like there's more support for Sam than I thought there would be, if that makes any sense. I felt like at the end of last year, there would be no support at all for Sam Pittman. I don't think that's true, at least from an outsider perspective. And so it feels like the schedule setting up to where you look at this Arkansas schedule, there's some chances down the road. And I think if he can get to 6, get to a bowl game, maybe 7. But to answer your question, I think a couple of things. I think Lane's really good. I think it's a great fit for him and for Ole Miss. But the NIL piece of this has been a huge component, because I know there's been some situations with that NIL collective there in Fayetteville and kind of get some things worked out. And look, I can't say enough about Keith Carter in the director of athletics at Ole Miss. And I'm not taking a shot at Hunter Yurecek at all, but I know a lot of the problems that I hear that Arkansas has, Ole Miss doesn't have. It's an athletic director that's very vocal. It's out there. He's in the community. He's kind of the man's man in regards to he'll talk to anybody. And I think that's key for Ole Miss, because Ole Miss and Arkansas are different universities or different places. And so he's perfect for Ole Miss. I don't know that would work everywhere, but Keith Carter has been an absolute godsend for this university as a player. And then of course, an administrator in the foundation and now as athletic director. He's an Arkansas guy, by the way, which I thought was interesting in all this, but yeah, he has been absolutely perfect. He and Jill and his family are absolute, bedrocks in the Oxford community. That's been a lot of the success too, is he and Dr. Boyce, Chancellor of the University, went and got Lane Kiffin, kind of rolled the dice, but it has been an absolute home run.
Keith Carter from Perryville, Arkansas. To your point, I think people here are excited about Arkansas's offense. I think they're apprehensive about the defense, and I think that they feel like they're going to have to outscore, win a lot of shootouts to have a good season this year. And a lot of people thinking that this Ole Miss game is really kind of like the early gauge for this Arkansas team. Brad, let's get you out of here on this. And this is a question real out of left field, so bear with me for a second. There's a lot of talk here, and you're real familiar with Arkansas. You've got ties here about War Memorial this week.
Yeah.
Ole Miss, they've kind of had to go through this in the past, and this was before you covered the team. But, pulling out of Jackson, pulling out of Memphis, a couple of places where they had strong ties and played games on a semi-routine basis. Based on what you know about what happened at Ole Miss, can you – tie any correlation between what happened there and what's potentially happening here with Arkansas and Little Rock, and maybe how you think this might go?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, and that's something I've been paying a lot of attention to. Not the last. Ole Miss went to Little Rock in 19, I believe, and then which is the only time I've ever been to a game at War Memorial, and then of course in Fayetteville.
What were your thoughts on War Memorial? I'm always interested to get people's thoughts who are not people from here, who come in and maybe compare this to other stadiums they go to.
It was very outdated at the time. It was kind of raining that night. I don't know if you remember it. I think they had a fake punt or something. Ole Miss wasn't very good. Arkansas wasn't either. Ole Miss ended up winning the game, but I just remember it was really old. And I remember that it was raining and the press box was very stuffy and I couldn't see anything. I actually watched the second half outside because the windows, and this is not, I guess it's not their fault, but the windows were so fogged up, I couldn't see anything. And so, you know, I've heard the stories about the restroom facilities. I've talked to some people that have said through different networks and that sort of thing, a lot of the lines don't work, you know, correctly, whether it be television, radio, streaming, whatever. So there are just some issues. I think there's so many things that are revolved around this from a political standpoint, being in the hub of Little Rock, being there in the hub of the state. What it looks like to me is this was once a great thing to do because of the people in Eastern Arkansas could come to Little Rock, because from Eastern Arkansas all the way to Northwest Arkansas, it's a haul. But at the end of the day, that's where the university is. And the facility in Fayetteville is fantastic. I mean, I was blown away at how nice it was. So I can see why folks, especially Arkansas fans, would kind of shy away from playing in Little Rock. But the location is really good in Little Rock. Tying it into Ole Miss, Ole Miss played its last game at Veterans Memorial, I think against VMI in 1996 or 1997. That was under Coach Tommy Tuberville. And so they elected to stop that because the stadium just couldn't handle what it needed to handle from a press standpoint, from a television standpoint, and the government was not going to put any money in it. At the time, I think the state owned the stadium, very similar to War Memorial. Mm-hmm. I think the state owns it as well. And I saw the letter from Governor Sanders. I appreciate what she's doing. I like Governor Sanders a lot, but I don't know that she truly believes that stadium is up to code to host a Southeastern Conference game. And so, if she does, I encourage her to please go tour it, because it wasn't from my standpoint. And so if they influx $500,000, maybe $1 million into getting it up to code, maybe play a game every couple of years there. But my stance is university is in Fayetteville. That's where they should play their home games. And I'm the same way with Ole Miss, Mississippi State. You know, they played games in Jackson as well. Back then, there was no television. I mean, there was radio coverage and that was it. And the central hub of Mississippi was where a large population was living. Now they live in Columbus, they live in Tupelo, they live in Northwest Mississippi, they live in Oxford, and so Tupelo area. So they're all over the state, and it just, from a geographic standpoint, it just didn't work like it used to. So I actually see where it would be a positive for the state of Arkansas, because it's absolutely centrally located. But in order for them to continue to play there, I think they need to invest a substantial amount of money to get it up to code, because quite frankly, Matt, it's just not. I enjoyed the game. I enjoyed the nostalgia of it, because I got to go to a place to where Miracle on Markham was. I got to go to a place to where the hit in which, Quinn Groby went left in 1989. He was hit by Chauncey Godwin at the goal line. Ole Miss won the game in 1990, for the first time, I think, forever. Ron Dickerson, who would eventually coach with Houston Nutt at Arkansas, then came to Ole Miss. He was the running back on that play. So, as a kid, I always watched those highlights. So being able to go back to a place like a War Memorial was really cool for me. I said the same thing about Legion Field, where Alabama played a lot of its away games. Obviously, all those games are on campus now, and that's not even UAB Stadium anymore. I love what I think Chuck Barrett, and I may be wrong on this, but I talked, or at least I heard something from someone that covers the program. If I was wrong about Chuck, forgive me. But I think he said it best when he said, those memories are incredible, and they're wonderful to think about, but those are memories, and it's okay to let them go and appreciate what we had, but now move on. And that's kind of where I am with those type stadiums. I can't envision Ole Miss ever going to Jackson, and unless the state of Arkansas decides to inject an influx of money and staffing into the stadium there in Little Rock, I think it's time to move this to Northwest Arkansas.
Do the Ole Miss people, do they miss Jackson?
No, they don't. Yeah,
that's kind of what I think. And, you know, you probably make the same Alabama, Legion Field, like you said. I think all these programs that at some point they realized that it was in their best interest to leave these stadiums. Brad, we'll leave the we'll end the conversation there. It was good talking to you this week.
Thanks, Matt.
All right, Brad Logan from Ole Miss. When we come back, Christina Long will join me here in studio, but first a word from Kendall King.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
The Whole Hog Sports Daily podcast is filmed today before a live studio audience. I've got my four-year-old in here who is on a sick day from school. You know, they've got this whole thing where if you get sick one day, you can't come back the next day. You got to be 24. And so we've got – if you hear anything that resembles weird noises, that's what's going on. Over here, we just had a little moment where we were getting ready to go, and I don't even know what that was.
It sounded like babies crying, like a lot of babies crying.
I sent you this story. Did you see the story about Hunter Renfrow, the former Clemson receiver, who the Panthers wanted to sign him a couple of weeks ago, and they kept Dan Morgan, who's their GM, and somebody else from their front office, they kept calling him, and he kept declining their calls. And finally, it turned out that it was his daughter watching Bluey on his phone, and she just kept hitting the X button because the call was overtaking Bluey.
Her Bluey time,
exactly.
Yeah.
I think every parent can relate with this.
That's hilarious.
We got a little one over here watching us today. Real quick, I promised Christina that I would not do too much governor speak today, but from the files of bad ideas can indeed get worse. She was on the Chuck and Bo show this morning, and she actually floated the idea of this annual Arkansas State matchup being played on Thanksgiving weekend. Thanksgiving weekend. She says that the attendance is always poor in Fayetteville on Thanksgiving weekend, which that's the truth. She thinks that they should play Arkansas State on Thanksgiving weekend. There is not, by the way, I looked this up, there is not another Power Four team in the country that plays a Group of Five, Group of Six team on the last weekend of the season. So you'd be asking an SEC team to go play a Sun Belt team on the same day that you've got the Iron Bowl and Ohio State, Michigan, and every other big rivalry that everybody looks forward to at the end of the season. You know, if Arkansas ever wants to be taken seriously as a football program, they've got to step up and do what other programs do and not go down this weird path of playing at War Memorial Stadium and playing Arkansas State, and certainly not playing Arkansas State on Thanksgiving weekend. You know, in my opinion, this is the only thing I'll say about it. I think they've got a football coach and an AD that together they pay them about $8 million a year to make decisions that they think are in the best interest of the football program. Don't micromanage. Don't be a micromanager. Let them do the job that you have hired them to do. And if that's playing Arkansas State, fine, if they think that's in their best interest. But I highly doubt, having talked to and or listened to both of them in different settings multiple times about this topic, about A-State, about War Memorial Stadium, I highly doubt that these two are going to come to the conclusion that this is the best thing for Razorback football moving forward.
Yeah, I don't think anybody is. I mean, it's like we talked about yesterday. Like, it's just, it is not what's in their best interest. You're right. If they want to be taken seriously, they have to let these kind of outdated ideas go. They can't keep doing this.
You can't run a business like you ran a business in 1980. You can't run a business like you ran a business in 2005. At some point, you've got to evolve and adapt with the times, or you're going to get left behind. And is playing a game at War Memorial Stadium the reason that Arkansas is not where they want to be in the SEC? I don't think so. But does it contribute to them being behind some of the other teams from a financial standpoint? I think it does. I mean,
and the recruiting stuff, like we talked about yesterday.
Yeah,
so that's also a big issue that I think kind of gets not overlooked, but I think that looking at it on its face, you wouldn't necessarily think about that. But that's a big deal.
You've almost got me monologuing.
I know.
All right, better stop. Let's move on. Let's talk about Arkansas and Ole Miss this weekend. I think there's two things at play here when you talk about the revenge factor. And I think Sam Pittman tried to talk this down, or at least one of them down a little bit. But you've got the three players who left Arkansas for Ole Miss last offseason. And then you've got the absolute splattering that Ole Miss laid on the Razorbacks on their home field in November last year. 63-31. It was not as close as the final score would make it seem. Jackson Dart kept throwing the ball over the top of Arkansas's head, even in the fourth quarter. This was a real beatdown. And Ole Miss needed to have, you know, we talked about this at the time, they needed to have this kind of statement performance at that point in the season last year because they were a borderline playoff team. And if they could have finished the season with two losses, if you've got a 32-point road win in the SEC, that certainly looks good on your resume. Obviously, they weren't able to, you know, to finish it. They had another loss in November that kept them out of the playoff. How much do you think that, first off, last year's game against Ole Miss and the embarrassment that Arkansas had to have felt, granted there's only like 20 players back from that team,
right?
But how much do you think that plays a factor for those who were on the field last year?
Well, I think it's big, and it's a lot of what Coach Pittman talked about yesterday. You know, somebody kind of asked him how much they were thinking about it, and he said a lot. And he pointed out, he said, hey, a lot of guys that were on that got embarrassed by that game are not here anymore. The guys that were, that's certainly motivation for them. And he was somebody, I can't remember if Sam made this point or if a reporter kind of pointed this out in another question, where they said, you know, hey, your staff pretty much was all here. So have, you know, is it motivation for them? Have you talked to them about that? And he was like, yeah, we talked about it, you know, as we kind of turned the page. He said they talked about that on Sunday. And, you know, they, like you said, it was, he described it as embarrassing. It was embarrassing, especially on their home field. You know, they were coming off like kind of the high vibes of the beatdown they put on Mississippi State on the road. Mississippi State, a very bad team last season. But they were coming off of that. Things were looking pretty good. And then just immediate letdown in this home game. So, I mean, this is a very different, well, I don't want to say very different. Personnel-wise, very different Ole Miss team, especially offensively. A lot of the guys that gashed them last year are no longer here. But that's not to say that these guys can't do it too. And so I think that's something that they're definitely thinking about. And he pointed it out and kept saying, you know, we can't let that happen again.
I think the most important person is still at Ole Miss, which is their head coach, Lane Kiffin.
Yeah.
And, you know, really with the exception of his first year there, the COVID year, when they threw so many interceptions, and maybe the year when Arkansas beat them up here in 22, where Ole Miss didn't get off to a good start, but they made it very interesting at the end of the game. I mean, his team seems like they are really, really prepared for this game every year from an offensive standpoint.
Yeah, they really are. And I think, you know, that was a point that Coach Pittman made yesterday was, hey, yes, the players are different for them as well as for us, but also, Lane Kiffin, you know, it's still Lane Kiffin's teams. It's still him. It's still his offenses. It's still, you know, the same idea, and they need to be, you know, prepared for that. And I think Arkansas has done – I remember last year we were talking about this, about how they've done better as they do pretty well as road underdogs. So I think that's something that I'm interested in. I feel like I remember you pulling – I wish I had the data in front of me, but I remember you pulling something about this for maybe late in the year about how they actually perform pretty well as road dogs. So, I mean, that's something, but this is the first opportunity for them to kind of do that this year. So that's another thing. It's a night game. It's their first road game. It's their first SEC game. There's a lot kind of going on here.
You know, going back to how Arkansas schedules, I would like to see a team – prepare itself more for SEC play before it has to play an SEC game. And the way you do that is you schedule your cupcake week one, and then you schedule your big game week two. So like, you know, this year you put Notre Dame week two, and then that gets you ready for SEC play. Now Ole Miss didn't do this either. They've still got their big, you know, non-conference game upcoming. But what they did have was that they've got an SEC game the week before they play Arkansas. I feel like they're a lot more, potentially a lot more prepared for this game because they have faced an SEC team. And, you know, like we talked about yesterday, Arkansas just has not seen that kind of, you know, athlete on the field yet.
Yeah, I think that's very true. And something that, as I've been kind of doing some research, trying to write some stories this week about this matchup, it's a lot harder to look at Arkansas and draw definitive conclusions because you still have that ability to say, okay, well, that was against an FCS team and a bad Sun Belt team. Okay, so now what? With Ole Miss, you can now say, okay, you can throw out that first game, but now they have an SEC game that you can look at, and you can look at that performance. And so that helps a lot. And the Kentucky game, you know, was interesting. It was closer than I maybe expected, not from the Ole Miss side, but from the Kentucky. I thought Kentucky would not hold their own that well. I thought Kentucky was maybe going to be quite bad. And I don't think they're great, but, you know, I think they performed better than I thought that they would. But so I think we can actually glean a little bit from their week two game.
The transfers. Yeah. There's going to be a lot talked about, written about. Lane Kiffin said yesterday that Luke Haz might play in the game. I don't know if that's the exact words that he used, but that was the gist of mm-hmm. what he said. I think that would surprise a lot of people yeah. based on what the severity of the injury was described as at the time that he had it over the summer. Obviously, he didn't play last week. Jalen Braxton didn't play for them last week. And then Patrick Kudus has been playing, but from the reports that we've been seeing, I mean, this has not been a good level of play that he's had at all.
No, I mean, he got kind of specifically called out, not by name, but by position, after their week one game. I think it was in one of the interceptions that Austin Simmons threw in that first game when Kiffin was asked about it. You know, they were trying to figure out, you know, hey, is this a Simmons problem? Was this? And he was kind of saying, okay, that interception was not really on Simmons. It was kind of on the right guard. Who's the right guard? It's Patrick Kudus. You know, and that's happened a couple times. And, you know, I think people have kind of pointed out, it feels like on teams where there's anxiety, especially offensive line anxiety, there's usually like one guy that like the Twitter fans like decide is just the problem with the offensive line. And I think the early pick for them is Patrick Kudus, which is unfortunate for him.
His PFF grades were really bad in their first game.
They've been quite bad, yeah. So there's that. The other two, like you said, haven't played. I kind of wonder if the Haz thing, this is totally speculation, but I kind of wonder if him kind of saying, like, Luke Haz might play is kind of more to just, like, juice up the vibes, not like actually we're going to see him.
I'll tell you that Bentonville Glass is committed, professional, versatile, and been serving its community since 1971. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, you can look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs. With the highest quality products, you can come by and see them at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. With Luke Haz, do you think that this is just kind of a diversion
that's,
that Kiffin's
yeah,
trying
that's
to create
what
this
I,
week?
That's kind of what I think. And I don't know if it's – so I guess since we're talking injuries, I need to talk through my thoughts about Austin Simmons and the injury thing. I was like – either they are downplaying it and everybody's just buying it, or he's like totally fine. And I can't figure it out because nobody's really like writing. Like, so I watched Kiffin's Monday press conference. First of all, very short. It was like 15 minutes.
I think he has like some sort of Sunday afternoon.
Yeah,
with
he
local
does a local
reporters
call,
too.
Which I could not find any kind of like concrete update on Simmons from that. I haven't listened to it, but I didn't see. I searched for articles to see if anybody was like, he says he's going to play for sure, or he says he's not, or he says he's not sure. I didn't find where he said anything about it, except for what he said post game, which was that he could have gone back in. Listen to what he said yesterday, and somebody asked, like, what do you want to see out of Austin Simmons this weekend? And he just kind of talked about how he wants Simmons to do. And so it sounds like he's going to play. But then if you watch the injury, I don't know, it doesn't look great. Like, it's not ideal when he has to be helped off the field. It's kind of difficult to believe that he could have just come back in for the next series and they just decided not to. So I have no idea what to think about how hurt Austin Simmons might be. Sam Pittman said they are preparing for the other quarterback too. They're kind of thinking about both. I guess I don't feel like I'll be surprised either way, but yeah, I mean, if we're really galaxy branding it, maybe he's saying Luke Haz might play to cause a diversion from that.
Galaxy branding.
Yeah.
I've never heard this term.
This is a meme I'll have to show you later.
A meme. Okay.
Yeah. I do know what a meme is. It's not like new. This is not like new hip slang that I'm using. It's like old hip slang.
Okay. Okay. I'll take your word for this.
You know, like, have you never seen the meme of like, it's like somebody's head with like, I'm going to have to look it up.
Yeah. You know, like the kind of the crazy guy and it's got like rainbows shooting out of his
like
head
him,
or something. Yeah,
like
I've seen
him
this.
Or like this. I don't know what this text is, but like, these where it's like tired, wired, inspired kind of, but it's like, yeah.
Nobody can see what you're showing us. But,
yeah. I mean, if you know, you know. If not, look up, I Googled galaxy brain and you'll find it.
Okay. How big of a deal do you think it is that Monte Harrison's out?
It's not a catastrophe. I mean, like I hate it for him because I actually was really interested to see what he would be able to do. They hadn't used him a ton yet, but he'd been on the field. And so I was kind of interested to see if he would be able to kind of do more in the offense. And it sucks that he's not going to, it seems like, have that chance this year. They said potentially out for the season, not 100% sure. But a broken foot, that's pretty tough. I don't think this is like going to break the offense, because like I said, he was not a go-to to begin with. It hurts your depth. Obviously it's one less, you know, one fewer capable receiver that you have, but I don't think they're short of options.
If somebody else goes down, then it potentially becomes a little bit bigger of a deal.
Right. If somebody in front of him were to, that we would have, maybe more of an issue.
Are there any other injuries right now that you feel are concern?
I don't think so. I'm not Philip. People were asking us about Philip Lee and about Xavier Sorey because they were both kind of like helped off. There's nothing going on there, at least what Pittman told us. He said Philip Lee's fine. Sorey came into post game. Usually, that's the other thing with Simmons. Usually, if they bring a player into post game, even after they were like banged up on a play, that usually means they're okay because they want to avoid all kinds of injury questions. They brought Simmons in for post game the other night and he talked and he said he was fine and whatever. So, maybe there's another thing.
Well, maybe they just treat it more like a professional
football. That's very possible.
And I've said this a number of times. I feel like there are a lot of people in college athletics right now who have not totally bought into the professionalism age, if you will, that we have entered. And it's kind of a weird dynamic where you can see the ones who still kind of want to hold on to doing things the old way. And, you know, I don't know that locker rooms ought to be open necessarily.
I understand.
But I think that you ought to be able to talk to whoever you want to after a game, like is the case in professional sports.
Clemson would bring in – Clemson has a good operation. They kind of – every year they would kind of scale it back a little bit. But their football SID came from the Commanders. He's in the background of that Kirk Cousins video, the like viral –
oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's in the background of that. He came from an NFL background.
The You Like That video?
Yes, that one. Mm-hmm. So he's Clemson's football SID, has been for a few years. So they run things a little bit more professional model. They would bring in a bunch of players post-game. You could ask for kind of whoever, and you just bring them into a big room, and you just do a scrum, and you could just walk up to whoever. So it kind of is almost a simulated locker room access type of thing, but you get a big selection of players.
I think if a college's mission, and I don't want to go too far down this path, but if a college's mission is to prepare players for their next step in life, okay, if you've got a quarterback or a receiver or a defensive lineman or whoever, and their next step in life is going to be going to Dallas or going to Baltimore or going to New York or any of these giant media markets where you've got NFL teams, then you ought to run your operations in a way that is consistent with how they do their operations. So I don't know what Austin Simmons being there the other day made me think about all this, but
it made me question. I was, you know, like I said, I feel like I'm maybe thinking too hard about the whole injury thing, but it made me think, okay, maybe he's probably not that hurt if they brought him in post game. But because like Arkansas probably wouldn't have, if he, you know, if this were Talon Green and he was banged up and they didn't bring him in, okay, that might say something. If they did bring him in, that would kind of indicate something to us. Because I feel like Arkansas is more – the way they tend to run things, they wouldn't really bring. Which is why with Sorey, okay, he came in a postgame. He's probably fine.
Probably okay.
And Pittman indicated yesterday that he's fine. And Philip Lee as well.
And then David Oakey sounds like probably sound like this week. Not going to play this week.
After this week, you know, the timeline they had given us when the injury first happened was kind of like 2 or 3 weeks. So after this week – you know, we've been asking about him every week, but after this week, it'll kind of be like, okay, can we get an updated, you know, or 2 or 3 more weeks? You know, what are we kind of thinking here? So, yeah, I don't expect that we'll see him this weekend.
You can read all of Christina's coverage at wholehogsports.com. You can read all of our coverage there. Hope that we'll see you on our website. Hope that we'll see you tomorrow on our podcast. Have a great day, everybody.